Well, we come before you today, and we're asking that you will just continue to guide us and lead us. And if there are times when we are failing to yield to your guidance and your leading, dear Lord, then we ask that you deal with us and ask that you help us. We don't want to take you for granted. I think sometimes that we fall short of trusting you. As we've been looking through the Psalms, dear Lord, we find that there is a man who was touched by your spirit, imbued by your spirit, dear Lord, to write words of praise for us to look at and to learn from and to seek encouragement and guidance. While we may not go through that particular portion of scripture today, we find that there's a principle found in your word, and we're asking that you will help us, dear Lord. We know that your word, dear Lord, is something that is there for us, for our benefit, for our growth, and for our correction. Asking you that we will help us not to neglect your word in spite of the various things that we might feel are so necessary to take care of that might weigh us down or what have you, but help us to understand that there is a rest, a peace, and the truth that is liberating that is found in your word, and that come anything, dear Lord. Your word is steadfast and sure. Help us to be settled in your word and settled in you, for it is the truth. Right now, Lord, Tim and Ann, we know that they would be here. We ask, dear Lord, your favor and your blessings to help this situation so that if it's your will, they could come here even on today. We thank you for how you brought us together again from the last time we were here on last Saturday up until this time. Various things I'm sure that some of us have gone through, dear Lord, and maybe there are some things still lingering, but you are able. I ask that you look down on us with infirmities. I ask you to look down on us, dear Lord, with weaknesses, dear Lord, or what have you, and help us to trust in you. Trusting in you, dear Lord, that though heaven and earth may pass away, you said your word is going to stand forever. I ask that you will help us, dear Lord, that when we come from time to time here, it is not something that is perfunctory or something that we feel that we must do so that we can look good toward one another, or something that we feel that we check off a ledger, dear Lord, as if we're writing in a checkbook, subtracting and deducting and putting in. But you are not like that, dear Lord. But dear Lord, you have told us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that we are to come together to encourage one another through your Holy Spirit. Look down on us, dear Lord, from the youngest one, dear Lord, that is Isabella, to the oldest one, dear Lord. You see the needs that we have that are physical. You see the needs that we have, dear Lord, that are financial. You see the needs that we have, dear Lord, that are emotional. But Lord, most of all, spiritual, grow us up in you. We thank you for the various things that you brought us through. I ask that you help us today, dear Lord, as we attempt to bring a portion of your holy word. And Lord, while I'm the vessel that will be speaking today, I ask that you help me to be faithful to you. I don't want to make you ashamed. We ask that you bless this home. And when it's all said and done, if you return us to our various places, we ask this in your wonderful son, Jesus' name. Amen. I've already stated we're going to be coming from a portion of scripture in Matthew. On this afternoon, I'm looking at a portion of the 18th chapter, and I'm also possibly going to look at a portion of the 17th chapter. I will try not to speak too fast. I sometimes do, but I have not given this a title. I guess I'm continue to pray. So that's, I guess, I'm coming up with the title right now, Continue to Pray. And Jane, if you don't mind, and even if you do, I'm going to say it anyway, okay? Several weeks ago that you know about it, it was a Saturday. And you know that we ended up going to the hospital. And we went to the hospital because we were trying to look after the necessity of keeping Jane with us. And there was a point where Jane was lying on the bed, and it looked like we were about to lose Jane. And there was a man who entered into the little area where Tim and I were standing. And this man, he said he was a chaplain. And he asked us if we wanted to hear what he had to say. And Tim said to him, well, yeah, what do you got to say? We want to see what you have to say. And he mentioned something about a parable. Now, this is not, he's not the reason that I wanted to speak on this. But as I thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do. My mind went back to this man. He went to, this is a parable that most people probably are not that aware of. It's about this lady who went to a judge and she kept bothering this judge. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you're talking about, but we're very familiar with it. I didn't say it, but this is kind of this is why I want to start a little bit on this evening. And remember that my title for today is Continue to Pray. And I have a reason for that. One thing is because it's been on my heart. Gary, you need to continue to pray. And so as I'm speaking, hopefully the Lord will speak to whoever needs to hear it. I believe it's all of us, so that we can be encouraged that we need to continue to pray. So Dree, I might try to start reading. And if I start fumbling and bumbling and stuff in your tree, like, well, I want you to take it from me. But we're going to be at the 18th chapter right now, Matthew. We're going to look at a few verses here. Let's see how this starts here. I want to go to the part where it's talking about the woman and how she continued to bother him. I think it's the 18th chapter. It might not be the 18th chapter. I meant Luke 18. Thank you. I said Matthew 18. I might come to Matthew 17. Thank you, Rocio. We're going to turn to Luke 18. I saw that 18 and my mind just locked in on that. So we're going to start there here in just a second as soon as I turn to it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, it's nice. Don't. I don't need the noise. Okay. This is how it reads in Luke 18, speaking of Jesus. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming, by her continual coming, she weary me. Now, I'm not going to be able to necessarily tell you what all words mean, but Brother Rich right there, he has a computer. And I believe I said, Brother Rich, can you tell us what this original word is? He probably can do that because he's a computer man. Ain't that right, Brother Rich? But let's look at what this is saying. I'm saying, what was my title again? Was it Continue to Pray? Jesus is giving a parable to the people of a situation that seems common to them in some sense. We want to understand that if you remember anything about the Old Testament, problems that they had of sin was that they would not do what Jesus said. He said that there ought to be proper judgment in the house of Israel. When you come from Egypt and I establish you in this promised land, there is a certain love. Maybe you don't read it that way, but there is a certain love that you all are supposed to have amongst yourself. How the father is supposed to treat the children, how the children are supposed to reverence the parents, how the neighbors are supposed to treat one another, and how when the stranger comes in there, the foreigner, how are you supposed to treat them? And I've given you my law, and my law brings you into correction, and other people are supposed to see it. If you've read in the Old Testament, you'll see in some books how the widows were mistreated. You see, like I think of the book of Amos and I think of the book of Micah, you'll begin to see how the people who had money, those who should have been exacting or executing righteous judgment, they did not do it. And so many times you'd see that there were people in the family of God who was being mistreated and marginalized because they didn't have the proper power, because the people above them weren't doing their job. And so God would always deal with them. He would give them a space of time for repentance. And then he'd let a nation come in. He'd give them a space of time for repentance. He says, you don't treat the orphans right, the ones without
fathers, and you're not treating the widows right. You're not doing what I said. He talked about how the gold and the measurements and things, he said, you're cheating them. Do you remember when we went through the book of, was it Judges? It might not be Judges. Elkanah, Eli's sons. Ain't that the book of Judges? It's 1 Samuel. I start getting them confused. It's right before 1 Samuel. Make a point on that. We'll go back to where we were. Eli's son was treating the people wrong when they came to bring their sacrifice. They was taken from. So you have a history of Israel doing things for themselves, the people in leadership. So when we get to this particular passage right here, there has been a history of the people, the so-called people of God, allowing injustices and crimes to take place. And the people who've been committing such sin have not been dealt with in the civil fashion how God set his government up for the people. So let's look at this again. And he spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. He gives a marvelous principle in the first place. No matter what you're going through in life, as the people of God, this is the truth. You have a heavenly Father who sits on high and he knows the situation. 400 and some odd years, he said to Abraham, your people, my people, will be enslaved in Egypt, and I'm going to allow them to be there for that long. I haven't forgotten about you. And the Bible says, I believe it, and it's in Exodus, it might be the 7th chapter, it's somewhere, and it says that God heard the cry of his people 400 and something years. Abraham knew that there was going to be suffering 400 and something years, and it looks like God has given up 400 and something years, and it looks like God says, if I give my people everything that they want, they will turn away from me. What did you say? I don't remember reading that in the scripture. Adam had everything he needed. Adam had everything he needed. And God gave him a wife to help him. Plus, David had everything he needed. And God said, if you had needed more, if you had required more, all you had to do was ask me. I would have given it to you. But it looks like, since the world is going to groan and earth and creation is going to groan, Romans 8 chapter about the 21st, 22nd, 23rd verse talks about creation groaning because it's looking to be reconciled. I hope you follow me. I'm not trying to jump all over the place, but this is the word of God. It looks like when I give my people so much blessing, then unless they keep their eyes on me, they will lose their mind and they will turn astray. So I, because of people sinning and because of people who are in position that's supposed to carry out my will, they don't do it. I don't just stop things all the time. My people have to endure. Lord have mercy. It's going to tie into what was taught this Thursday night. Was you there? Was you there? Was you there? And in suffering, hold on to me. I can increase their faith. So he spake a parable. Men ought always to pray and not faint. I don't know what the word right there for faint is, as it is explicitly probably given by the term. Brother Rich is going to find it, but I'm going to tell you what it seems to say to us. You don't give down. You don't give down when you have the rock. You don't give down when your foot is on a firm foundation. That firm foundation is Jesus Christ and the word that he gave from his Father. You don't give down and you continue to pray to the Heavenly Father because he sees your every need. What's going on in your life right now? What's going on in the job right now? What's going on in the classroom right now? What's going on in your pocketbook right now? What's going on with your physical body right now? What's going on in your life? Is your soul about to perish? You don't give down. Brother Rich, what's the word?
A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-K-A-
And what is, one more time. And kakeo. And kakeo. And what does it give for? What is it saying it means?
It says to be discouraged or grow weary. You know, lose heart.
Do not lose heart. Now, I'm going to be making application, as you see. I'm going to be talking about what's going on with this widow here. And I'm going to be talking about what could go on, generally speaking, in our lives in a general fashion. Because I don't know what's going on, per se, in your life, unless you shared something. But don't be discouraged. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So we enter into this account where he talks about someone in high position, someone in a civil position that is supposed to recognize the government that's given by God. His justice, Romans 13, talks about how the government was created and is supposed to execute God's judgment. Lord, have mercy. And this judge, it says, in his high position, did not think a thing about God, did not fear God. I taught a lesson not too long ago about the man who had a barn. He had plenty. And he said, so I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build bigger barns because I'm all that. God said, I would go require your soul tonight, and he died. This judge isn't thinking about God. And if you know he's not thinking about God, he could care less about anybody to whom that comes to him needing his help. Since this judge did not fear God and he did not look to the cares of man because he was somebody. Do you see that in our society right now? That in the political arena, in the social arena, in the religious arena, people in the religious arena might say God, but their hearts are far from God. When you look at what the scripture says and you see the deed that comes from them, Jesus said that you will know a tree by its fruit. Yes, he did. So this judge, like, not thinking about God. And there was a widow in this selfsame city where the judge was presiding. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, what we're going to see here in this particular passage, and again, we're very familiar with it. Okay. Right here when we read it, it sounds like she came one time. But we know that she came continually. I wish I knew how long that was. I wish I knew if it was 3 months. I wish I knew if it was several years. We know that this lady, this widow, the widow, her husband had died. Who would have been the one in charge? It looks like she has no children. The children would have taken up charge, especially if there was a man child who had grown up or what have you. He would take care of the responsibility. I think it's Elijah that went to the woman and she said, it's me and my son. He said, we're going to die. He can't even help me in this situation. The family was established by God. And if the husband died, the son was to assume responsibility. Why would the son do it? Because he would have had God's word in his upbringing. Lord have mercy. The family was supposed to be established on God's power, on God's spirit, and on his holy righteous word. This woman looks like she's in a desperate situation, doesn't she? Look like she's in a desperate situation. Somebody owes her some money and she needs it. And this judge, selfish, pompous, little piece of a man in a position under a title, doesn't care a thing about God. But this woman, she's like, you know what? You may deny me today, but I'm going to trust in God. So she kept going back to this judge. She kept going back to this judge. We don't see in the beginning that she kept going back to God, but I don't know. Maybe there's a connection that she kept going back to this judge. Tell me no today. I'm coming back tomorrow. Tell me no the next day. I'm coming back again. I'm coming back again. And Jesus commends this woman for her persistence. What in the world is it that looks like it is too hard for God to do in your and my life? And I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about send me this man. I'm not talking about give me this position. I'm not talking, God, if you don't cure me. I'm not talking about that. But what God wants from us is to be productive in his kingdom. He wants for us to be productive in his kingdom. I don't know if that means that you're supposed to bring 15 people to Christ or 1,000 people to Christ or your family to Christ. I don't know what it means, but I know it means to be faithful until death. You will not turn to the right, you will not turn to the left, and you won't give up on God. 400 and some odd years they were in Egypt. You know, isn't it interesting that when they came out of Egypt, they built a calf and attributed the calf to saving them? I ask myself sometimes in the past, what? We used to sing the song, farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along in time, we'll understand why. Why are there so many wicked living about us? Why does it look like they get to keep doing things while we are suffering? And it says, Father, we can know about the truth of God's word right now. Jesus says that this woman kept going to this judge. What is it that a judge can do except what God gives him the ability to do? He'll take the breath from a judge and he'll set another one up. What's that judge name that died about a year or two ago, Scalia? Was that his name? He died, and they're going to set somebody else up there. And if that person is not being led by the Spirit of God, that person will help set up all kind of laws that is against God's word. But God sits up high, and he's not going to forget anything. Let's go back to the text, third verse. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. There's some injustice that's taking place in my life. And because you're supposed to understand the law, as I present my case to you, and if these people come, you are supposed to look at what I'm saying and what this person is saying, and you are to determine by the facts, you are to determine by the evidence what is right and what is wrong. But this judge could care less. And there are people sitting up in Washington right now who could care less and who will tax you to death if they can. They'll take your land. They'll take your house. You, somebody leave you something when you die, and then they'll tax you on top of it already being taxed. Yes, they will. And this judge says of this woman, I don't fear God, and I don't fear man, but this woman, she's not paying attention to my title. When I tell her no, that should be sufficient for her not to come back to this court. This should be sufficient for her not to come back to me asking and seeking and knocking. Ask, seek, knock. He said, fourth verse, and he would for a while. Thank you. And he would not read it for me, Dree.
And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me.
Now, the interesting thing about the Hebrew scripture is that often if you see something that's reiterated or repeated twice, it's really like to stand out for the Hebrew who would read this or the Jew who would read this. It's like, oh, sometimes if it's there a third time, it's like, okay, pay attention. Jesus in telling us mentions it twice, but the judge says within himself, this woman is persistent. She will not stop. She keeps coming to me. I wonder if she came early in the morning. I wonder if she came in the afternoon. I wonder if she came at the evening time. I wonder if she came like every day. Did she come once a week? She, it doesn't matter. The point is she did not stop. Jesus makes a comparison. He's like, you should be like this woman. They were living in the time that the Romans, it looked like all things were going wrong. Jews wanted to kill Jesus. You had people lying on Jesus, saying he was a bastard. You say he thinks he's equal to God, and Jesus was faithful. Jesus was faithful. Trying to get the people to believe in him, trying to tell the people that the kingdom of God was amongst them. It was in their midst right there, trying to get the people to understand that they should repent, trying to get the people to understand that no matter what you think you see, no matter what it looks like, the truth is, unless I've told you this of my Father, unless you find this in the scripture, you should not believe the lie. And that woman says, justice is due me. Justice is due me. And she keeps going. Listen to how it reads again. Yet because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her. How long was it? David prayed a prayer. How long, oh Lord, will you forget me? How long, oh Lord, will you forget me? I'm up in here and I'm Egypt for 300 years, 350 years, 400 and something years. Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? How long will I ache in this physical body? How long will I have problems with my family? How long on my job, when I say something about the words of God, will they continue to try to mock me and make me, belittle me in front of other people? Move me from the position that I have. How long, oh Lord, have we failed in our responsibility and duty before God? And I'm going to say bow the knee, but I don't think you have to be on your knees all the time to seek God and ask his favor, ask him for strength, and tell him about the evil doer. Tell him about the situation. Lord, have mercy. How long, let's change the question, will we not seek and cry out to God? How long will we do that if that's what we're doing? Jesus encouraged the persistence. That's one of the things I've been thinking about. Children, you can pray. Did you hear me? I know I'm looking at you. It's not to make you feel funny. You can pray. Don't ask God when you pray just to give you what you want. Learn to be like Jesus. Father, not my will, but your will. Learn that Jesus taught a prayer. He said, in heaven as it is in earth, there is an order that is established in heaven. It's righteousness. It is righteousness. So that if there's any iniquity in us, I say children, but it's for the adults too. I'm not picking on the children. It's for the adults too, that we have to be working. When I say working, I mean that living for the Lord. So that when you pray, your heavenly Father can hear and he answers in his time. His time. But don't fail to continue to cry out before the Lord. He knows the peer pressure that you might have. He understands that if you don't even understand why you are coming to seek in truth at this young and tender age, while you're learning a little bit about life, you don't know it all. You don't know it all. This is preparation for the real thing. Because one day, mama, daddy, somebody might not be there, but God will be there. How long? I want you to read the 5th, 6th, and go down to the 7th verse a little bit.
Yeah, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?
Oh, my God. Sometimes you can read the scripture like, oh, that reads so good. But what about, we can read it, it reads so good, and we'll have the knowledge right here. But later on that week, 2 weeks later, three weeks later, it's like, well, what about me? We totally forget about what we read. I'm speaking about me. So I said we. I have found that in my actions and in my manner of thinking sometimes, I'll be thinking, okay, you know, but I know the scripture. And then there's a corrective measure in the spirit because of, like, I want to be born from above continually. And it says, boy, get your thinking right. First of all, you don't rush God. You don't rush him one single bit. But he says, I want you to continue to come to me. Continue to come to me. Continue to come to me. Jesus says something, I believe it's recorded in about the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. He says something along the lines of, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now, I was looking at that years ago, and I said, wait a minute, because the TV preacher said, God said that you can ask what you will, but you got to have faith. Lord, have mercy. Now, look down on the screen, and you see that number. Now, call that number in, and it's like, the word, do you believe? Do you believe tonight? Jesus said, ask what you will. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. Jesus said, it's a promise as sure as you're born. Now, do you believe? No. No. So, if we are part of the vine and we're the branches, we cannot demand of the vine something that it will not give. My wife helped me understand that years ago. She didn't know it. She looked at me like, okay, what is this? Let me tell you what it was, and we'll come back to the scripture. She got she was at one job anyway, she had like a debit card. Now, a certain clientele that would come in and the company would go and they would talk to these people, but they would have them go eat. We used to do that when we would bring people in trying to hire people to become a professor. It's a part of the interview process. And she was saying like, okay, and the company pays for it. I bet you that they didn't take them to Six Flags. The company's not going to pay for that. I bet you that they didn't take them over here to the spa. The company did not pay for that. The company says you can go out to eat. And then you come back and there's a certain part. You do not ask of this debit card outside of the parameters. Once Jesus says you ask what you will, it's within his will. What the world are they trying to do? Get people asking for stuff that's outside of God's will. Let's be smarter than that. Good grief. Don't that make sense, y'all?
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. Seventh verse. Listen at the culmination or the answer. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night? Day and night. Day and night, Tim. I think that speaks to a habitual yearning, desire of the heart in which the heart is affected, and that is not something that is checked off. No, this thing is affecting me. This woman went daily. I don't know exactly if it was day after. This woman knew that something needed to be done. And as the people of God, I'm mighty afraid to say that what we call the church has laid down. And I'm like, if I had been living 60 years ago, if I had been living 40 years ago, would I be more righteous in God than I am now? Would I have been lazy? Because the people who came before us, they laid down the banner of God. We're supposed to be closer. We're supposed to be affecting society. But society tells us what to do. So now we get afraid sometimes when the masses are against us, but we're not praying like we should.
My brother asked me years ago, before Josiah was born, he said, why you want a child?
I did not think that question felt good, but I considered the source who said it to me. I said, this man has been an example of truth to me. This man has been an example of what it is to come back to the scripture. This man is showing me what righteousness is. This man is showing me that it doesn't matter if it's mother, father, sister, brother, or people in a dadgum church. He's trying to get people to see Jesus Christ. And I say, what would I be? Look at the world. And I say, oh my gosh, I'm praying now that when my children get older, should they live, that they can be faithful. I might not be here. Are we telling God about this crusted society? God, Jesus says, will avenge. Now, I think if we were to put it, I know I'm using funny words, that they're there. With all the problems of them wanting to kill Jesus, wanting to kill those who seem to dissent from that Judaizers' faith of going to the temple and doing the so-called, how can you call it, sacrifices, and the scribes and the Pharisees, particularly the Pharisees, having changed somewhat the doctrine of God, at least in the minds of the people, there was problems. There was problems. Jesus says, pray to God about this. This woman got her justice, and Jesus is saying, God will do the same thing. As a matter of fact, God is righteous. This judge was wicked. Now, I think it's in James 1 and 6. Can we turn to James 1 and 6 for a minute? I think it says, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Is it 1 and 6? Somebody who got it, because I might misinterpret this thing, and I don't want to misinterpret. Now, I know that food's smelling good, but we're going to try to focus. It's like, What is 6? What does it say, James? 1 and 5. What does it say?
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberal and upbraideth not.
If we lack wisdom, as we are going through various situations, trials, tests, and tribulations from ourselves, from external, whatever, looking at this world, I used to watch the news. I don't watch the news as much. I listen to things and I'll read things sometimes because it can get you down. But we need to be in the know. But we have a God that sits on high. Do you know that there's nothing about history that has surprised God? Do you understand that the Bible said God knows the end of a thing before the beginning? Do we understand that the Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God? He was before that beginning. Lord have mercy. He has no end. He has no beginning. What, Job, what you going to tell God? Tell him about the injustices and ask him for strength. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, why are you bearing long, God? Why are you bearing long? It's to prove you. He told Israel, I think it's in Deuteronomy, somewhere around the 8th, I think, chapter. They walked in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. They provoked God, Hebrews said, in the day of provocation. Do not harden your heart. They did not mix the preaching of, turn to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and the 1st verse, please. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and the 1st verse. God was trying to teach them, but they built a daggum calf and gave the credit to the calf for bringing them out of Egypt. They knew they were lying. It becomes so wicked that you got a question. What's your question, young man? Provoke. If I slap you right now for no reason, and I'm little like you, you probably want to bust me upside my head because I provoked you. In other words, I caused you to feel something like that you didn't deserve, and I just did that. I provoked you. If I lie on you, it's like, why are you provoking me? What have I done for you to bother me? So that's probably not the best answer. Dree, I know you got something real sweet. What is it?
If you provoke somebody, that means you push them to do something that they wouldn't normally do, or they wouldn't do under normal circumstances.
Right. It's provoke. Now, provoke can be meant another way. I use one where, like, you might want to beat me back up or something. Sometimes a man might dress a way that we call it provocative. Or a lady might dress a way where she's showing all her curves and stuff. And the man goes, oh, my goodness. Oh, it's like she's provoking him to enticing him to kind of look. But there's several ways. Some people will say provocation or to provoke. So it can be used different ways. Does that make a little more sense to you? Let me hear you say the word provoke. Provoke. That's the word. Now, we turn into Hebrews 4 and 1. What does it say? Now, we're talking about faith. And where I was in Luke 18, I said, the question was, how long? And it says, though God bear long with us, so God bear long with this woman, and this judge would not hear. There came a day where that judge said, you know what, I'm going to respond. The Hebrews, when God called them out of Egypt, it was an 11-day journey, I think Deuteronomy around the 2nd chapter says. It said this journey was to take 11 days, but because of their unbelief, he let them walk around in the wilderness. You're going to be like that. I'll let you have it. I'll let you have it out there in the hot sun. What does it say, Dre?
Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest.
Can you go to the verse before that? I'm not sure what it says, but I want like a verse or two before that, 4 and 1.
Okay. So in the 3rd chapter?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that it sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Now, there was a rest that Hebrews talks of rest, and you have I want to say a prototypical rest, but you have a rest when it speaks of God resting on the seventh day. He ceased from work. Then we have a rest that it talks about when they were supposed to get to Canaan. It was a rest from being enslaved, at least to Egypt. And then there's a rest that the book of Hebrews will talk about that we're supposed to understand. So there are figures of rest, and then there are understandings, if you will, of rest. The point is that they turned away from trusting in God, and God dealt with them. Because they was, how long is Moses going to be in the mountain? We don't know what he's doing. Really, really. Man, just wicked. So he said that because of unbelief, they didn't enter to the rest. What I'm trying to encourage us through looking at the scripture is it seems that God has a pattern that often he will require that his children rest. And I said, why, God? It looks like Adam and Eve had everything. It looks like David had everything. It looks like the people of God should have been satisfied and thankful that they were coming out from under the hand of the Pharaoh. So God been alone with us. David says, how long? And God says, my grace is sufficient. You pray unto me. I need you to keep your eyes on me. I need you to keep trusting in me. Else you start trusting in yourself and you will mess up the whole plan that I have. And I'm not somebody text me and say, I know God has a plan. Yeah, that you be obedient. Yeah, that you be obedient. That we not give them. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with it. And I tell you that he will, this is from Jesus. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And Bro Rich, when I read that, you know, I don't know if you know, but I think about Revelation. What does that mean? Near, soon, speedily. This is what we call an adverb. Does that mean he's going to do it right after? Or does it mean when he gets ready to exact, it's going to be like this? You will know that God is working on his behalf and then on your behalf. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? This woman was faithful. Now you tell me that you're not supposed to show your faith through your actions, and it's a lie. Go to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and see about all the patriarchs and some of the women who was faithful. And though they did not see what God was actually always doing, they obeyed and they were faithful until death. Am I speaking too fast?
No, sir.
They were faithful unto death. And we're supposed to be faithful unto death. Who's the judge in your life? Who's the judge in my life?
Yes, I.
Being faithful unto death, it's a good question. There's probably several answers. Faithful, Josiah asked, what does being faithful unto death mean? So I'm going to answer, and then if someone else wants to give a response, and then we welcome it. First of all, I need you to understand what faith is. Some people will teach that faith is what you believe. That's only part of it. You might believe that you need to wear a jacket if it's raining outside, but you might walk out there without a jacket and without a cap, but you believe it. So that's only part of it. The faithfulness is that you know it, and then you act in the wisdom of how do you go through that situation. It's wisdom, this is just a little example, to put the jacket on and the cap on, so when you go out there, perchance, hopefully you won't get sick. There's some people who know the word of God, and they'll just say, Jesus, Jesus, I call on Jesus, and Jesus, whatever. But when it comes to when it's time to make a decision, should I steal? Should I lie? Should I go over here? Should I be in the word of God? They might not. They won't do that. That is not faithful. Faithfulness is when you know what God says to do, and then you do it, and not just know it. That's faithful. Faithfulness unto death means there's going to come a time when you're going to die. And many people in the world will want you to turn away from what you know is right, but you will hold on to what God said, even though you may die. Being obedient to God, that's faithfulness unto death. So when I mentioned Hebrews 11 chapter, they mentioned people like, Moses is mentioned. I think Samuel is mentioned. Japheth, I think, is mentioned. You've read and heard Rahab, different people. who, when they, some of them could have lost their lives, and some of them did. They did not stop being obedient to God because they knew that David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, because Jesus says, if you're afraid of the one who can only kill you, then you have a problem. They can only kill your body, but if you die in the Lord, you will rise with the Lord. Again, that gets in the resurrection. So being faithful unto death is serving God, trusting God, and being obedient to God until he calls you, until he lets you die on this earth. Like Papa died, when that time comes, Jesus says, you want to be afraid of God who can not only destroy your body physically, but if you haven't lived right, he can put your soul in hell, or you always will be separated from God. I hope that makes sense. What I don't know what time it is. What time is it?
4:28.
Can I go a little bit further? So before I got some of them might be like, no, my students be like, no, Mr. Man, I'm like, you pay for this. So before I got mixed up, and I said Matthew the 18th chapter, which is actually about somebody being choked. I want to go to Matthew the 17th chapter just a little bit and look at the 14th verse, and I hope I'm not gonna strain this. If I do, if somebody can help me out. I think the what I'm wanting to stress is continue to pray. And this is about a demon-possessed individual. And Jesus is going to make a statement here. But when I was listening to this morning, I was telling Brother Rich before we started, I think I see something here, and it may not be exact, but I think there's some application here. And I'm going to marry it to Matthew 12. I won't read from Matthew 12, but I'll allude to it. And then we'll probably end up with reading a verse or two from the Psalms. In this 17th chapter of Matthew, starting at about the 14th verse down to 21, the seven verses, it says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the 9 disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, Drew, I want you to read this part. If ye have faith.
If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Albeit this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting.
So you may ask yourself, how in the world am I going to pull these two together? I don't know if I am, but I know that it's my daughter chuckled. If nothing else, you see prayer, right? Okay. I'm reminded. I'm going to come back to this, but I want to allude now to Matthew 12. Matthew 12 is a beautiful passage. But the part of Matthew 12 that I'm thinking about, I think it's in Matthew 12, where Jesus says sometimes a man has a spirit of, let's say, wickedness, demon in him. And it says that that man will have his soul, his house, swept clean. Thank you, Drew. Swept clean, as if to have been purified, washed by the word. Truth has come to this man, and the problem that was in this man has now been dealt with, rectified. But it says something along the lines that there. One time when I was studying on it, I saw the word inactivity, and and I don't think it says it that way in the King James, but anyway, once this spirit has been cleaned, the spirit goes away into dry places. And it says that individual has done nothing, and that spirit goes out into dry places, and it comes back and it brings seven more spirits. And that individual from whom the first spirit left is worse off than it was before. I'm going to come back to this particular part right here. And I used to think that it was only talking about an individual, but I believe that we've received some teaching here that it's probably, and I think so, talking about the house of Israel. And Jesus walked amongst his own people and said his own received him not. And so that there was a spirit of wickedness in them. Remember I said how they didn't judge the children of ones without the parents? They didn't do righteous judgment on behalf of the widows? Remember how I was talking about all that? So we have a centuries and centuries and centuries of wickedness, and they knew about the Messiah was going to come. And Jesus says when that evil spirit is swept out of them, it goes out because the house of Israel still does not believe. And he goes on to bring seven other spirits, completely going to show you are destroyed. Just like in Isaiah, I believe it's the first chapter around the 11th verse or so, said that it's like you are putrefied from your head to your toe. The individual is worse off. And then we'll try to make the connection. So when I was listening to this morning, I believe we have an individual, but I said, I wonder if Jesus is making a statement about this individual that should be really applied more broad than just the situation, and we understand it as Israel. Listen to how it reads. Now I'm back at the 14th verse. I'm talking about praying. The woman was praying. The judge didn't want to avenge her. And the Bible says that God will avenge, but he may bear long. He's coming. Now let's go back into this text. You still need to pray. And I believe it's talking about a broader situation still. And I say, is there an application for us as we live in this wicked world? And it seems like there is no hope. There is no remedy. There is no resolve. Trust in God. Hope thou in God. Listen at this 14th verse. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, crying and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth in the fire and oft times into the water. This individual has no control over him. Now, the Bible speaks of wages of sin is death, and how this corruptible must put on incorruption in, I think, 1 Corinthians 15. That means you're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. That rotten tooth that you have, that glaucoma that you have in your eyes, that Crohn's, and they took out 18 inches or 16 inches of your colon. That means that death is upon us. Well, this lunacy that they might call it, or this seizure that they might call it, or this abnormal behavior, it is indicative of sin. You see Adam walking around falling out and stuff like that. You see Eve doing that. It was perfect order. Animal didn't eat animal and man didn't eat animal. There was perfect order. So when we look at this, let's understand what's the scripture really say about all of this stuff. I'm just saying what I believe is in the scripture. So they brought this man with problems to the disciples, and the disciples could not do anything. Now, I don't fault the disciples, but I know what Jesus said. The disciples were in a period of growing during this 3 to 3.5 period while they were under the master's feet. Disciple, I believe it means student. And the teacher was teaching the student, and the teacher was teaching the student, filling their questions, letting them know, you're still a baby, but it's time for you to grow up. You're still a baby, but it's time for you to grow up. Peter, you didn't say that by yourself. It was the Holy Spirit that told you to say that, Peter. Peter, you're starting to grow up. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Lord have mercy. Peter, feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Peter says later on, we have not followed cunningly devised fables by men, but we are following the Lord Jesus Christ, the one he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He had to grow up. But they brought him to Jesus and said, well, we couldn't, your disciples couldn't heal this man. Listen, we're getting close to being finished. I hope it's making sense for y'all. Making sense to me. Sometimes that's the problem. If it only makes sense to the teacher, did he or she do the job? Anyway, let's finish this. 17. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Jesus is saying, in a nutshell, I hope you understand how I say this. I'm wisdom and I'm the word amongst you. And I'm speaking to you all the time. Will you trust me and will you hear me? Do you believe what I'm saying to you? And I asked myself, I said, they couldn't do it. But Jesus says, this is why. You're faithless and you're perverse. Brother Rich, if you can see what it says in your logos there, what it says for perverse. For perverse, yes, sir. And the other one, I wouldn't mind having that one too. For perverse and for faithless. Okay. And when you find it, you can tell me. Jesus is making a statement about their condition or their growth or lack of growth. Let's say their maturity level. For maybe a lack of a better way to say it. When you find it, Brother Rich, let me know. He's gonna let it pronounce for perverse. Okay. And what
did you hear that?
Estrepo. And it's saying it means.
Yeah, this is a misleading turn away. Yeah, I'll turn. Let me open up.
He's gonna open up and tell us. Jesus is making a statement about where they are.
Yeah. And Estro, to turn away from. Is used metaphorically in the sense of perverting in Luke 23:14.
Okay, that's good, brother. My wife used the word earlier today, and she said accusatory when we were talking about 2 Samuel 19. And there's a tag, I believe, that Jesus is saying about his disciples. It's almost like for when the time you need know this, how to do this, you aren't there yet. I don't think it's to the point where he's like, it's like, now you just get away. No, you learn from what I'm telling you. You are not there. And it looks like it's on them. So I was thinking this morning, I was like, when I think about the kingdom of God, and it looks like what Jesus says we can do, and we haven't done it yet, whether it's us or let's say the body of Christ as a whole, it looked like the fault is with us and not with the king. Because we see what looks like it is in the land, laws, policies, friends, people, the masses. And Jesus tells them, he says, you, it's not what I have said is possible. It's not that, it's you. And I thought about that woman, so I tried to marry this together. And though the judge said, I'm not afraid of God, I'm not afraid of people, but here comes this little woman up here all the time. See, a little gray head, you know, here she comes. She might have had leathery looking skin, but this woman was tough. This woman said, I don't regard you. I don't regard you, judge. You need to be exacted justice. And Jesus said, he said, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So we take the picture of this little, I don't know if he was little or whatever, he was this man child, older or younger, and he had a problem and the disciples couldn't deal with it. Well, this world is full of problems. And Jesus said, this kind goes out by prayer and fasting. So when I say we need to continue to pray, let's take it from the micro level where we are and take it up to the macro level, because where our house is supposed to go out into the world. Now, you got to pray about your situation, but we also got to pray about the kingdom, because thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I believed it when I looked at it. I said, it made me think of Matthew 12. Israel, though the Romans are here, and though we got some people here from other nations, John, the 4th chapter, the Samaritan woman, which mountain should I worship in? Jesus says, you're going to not worship in this mountain or this mountain one day. And I said, I have never thought about this here before. But I think there's an application. Point is, we need to be praying. Let's finish this part. And Dre, we're going to, I don't know which particular verse, but we're going to turn to a verse or two in Psalm and finish up. 17 verse again, Matthew 17 and 17. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus and said, why could we not have cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. I think sometimes we don't pray because we're tired. But it didn't say when you're tired, just give up praying. I don't think that it means that if we're tired, we might not pray at that particular time. But I'm saying as a whole, it's actually given to us as a duty. All things like pray without ceasing. Because of your unbelief, for truly or verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence ye yonder place, and it shall remove. I think the mountain was the society and its rules and government that was against the will of God. How does Jesus go from talking about an individual to the mountain? I have heard people say, if you believe that God will do it, you can go over here and say to this mountain and the mountain is going to be removed. And perhaps in a month or two, the government will have some bulldozers come and they'll move that mountain up. Really? Really? Come on now. What does the Bible show us about mountains? What does the Bible show us about his word? His word. His word is what would cause people to want to kill the prophets. His word, Jesus says, if you got 17th chapter, God, I pray that your word would, I have given them your word, that as we're together and you're in me and I'm in you, they can be in me and we can, and it's your word, it's your word, it's your word, it's your word. So I think it's about us being faithful in prayer and his word being in us and us being productive for the kingdom, whether it's a small level or a large level, he will work that out. But he calls us to be faithful. Howbeit this kind goeth out not when howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So the work that we have in this world, it looks like it's going to require something of us to be persistent and actually to fast. To fast. I'm not talking about a Lent where you lay off a chocolate. Yes, sir. Fast means, okay, so very good question. And fast often, if you think of it, you might be thinking about running. And okay, this person is quicker than that other person. That's fast in the sense of the way we use it most of the time. But when the scripture generally speaks of fast, it's talking about when the person decides, I'm not going to eat any bread or water. You remember in the book of Matthew, you all were reading a little bit in Matthew this summer, when Jesus went up into the mountain, right, and Satan came and he tried to tempt Jesus 3 or 4 times. The Bible said that Jesus was not eating or drinking for 40 days and for 40 nights. You remember that? That was a fast. And I believe I was trying to study years ago on what is a fast. And so one of the conclusions, and it's not exhaustive, that I came to, is that we get so dependent on this physical body and we think what we can do, that it's one way, I believe, of showing God that I know that there is more to life than this physical body, because this physical body can go, but the spiritual man is going to live anyway. Remember Luke, I think we talked about the bosom of Abraham or being on the other side. So fasting, I believe it shows God that though I know I need food, though I know I need water, you can sustain this physical body and you grow my spiritual man. And I want to, in some fashion, show you while I'm doing this, because I need more. I'm going to be praying to you. I'm going to be crying out to you. And Lord, hear my cry. And this is sort of what a fast means. So it's like denying the body of food and drink. Now, some people can't do this because maybe of health conditions, but that's another story. But God is able. Does that answer your question? So Jesus saying, if you want this individual to be healed, it requires of you to pray and to fast. But I think that a larger picture is that I think he's really talking about Israel. Now, I did not choose the chapter from Psalms because we're about to wind this up. But we've been in the Psalms, and I was telling Brother Rich, I don't know exactly what I'm going to talk about. I have an idea, but I wanted to hopefully to pull up a principle from the Psalms, and I have alluded to it. And so let's listen at, I think I'm going to go to the, let's choose the fifth chapter. David, we understand, had great trials and tribulations, some self-wrought. When I say self-wrought, I mean he caused it. But he was faithful. And there were some that were not self-wrought, but he would turn to God. Let me see if this is really the one. Dre, if you see one, if you see one, or if anyone sees one, because I'm looking at verse 5, but where is it, the one where he says, how long? Let's go to 13. That's where we're at. I think I wanted to read that one. Because we've been talking about time and how long and the 400 and some odd years and the woman going day and after day and after day. And Jesus says, though God bear long with you. So let's turn to Psalms 13. A lot of them I think would apply, but I like this connection here. Psalms 13, this a Psalm of David. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Do you all remember that in 1 Samuel, there was a time when David was trying to flee from Saul, and he had the 600 men. And I think it was the Amalekites who had come, and they had taken the women and the children. And if it wasn't the Amalekites, it might have been the Philistines. I can't remember at the moment. Point is that the wives and the children were taken. And this, I think this might be somewhere around, I don't know, 20th chapter, the 21st chapter. It's in 1 Kings. Anyway, the women and the men had been taken away. And the soldiers, when they came back, they were mad at David. And they were ready to kill David. Y'all remember that? If you don't, it's in there. They were ready to kill David. And in the King James, it says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. David remembered. He remembered the Lord. So we know that this man had, talk about a personal relationship is not just feeling good. A personal relationship is when you feel like there is no remedy, that you trust on the sure foundation of God, who made heaven and earth, who will take your breath one day, who sees that individual mistreating you, who sees that individual who tried to take you to court, who sees those people who think you're foolish and stupid and don't have any sense. Let God rise up. Let God rise up in us. Sometimes it'll be firm. Sometimes it'll be so subtle that they just have to know that they're liars. It's okay. It's okay. David says in the 13th chapter, in the third verse of the Psalms, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. This woman keeps troubling me. I'm about to act because I'm tired of this woman coming up here. But listen to David now. I'm not giving up, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. He starts out like he's not like, God, what's going on? In the end, I'm going to say in the same breath, I'm not seeing, you know, looks like it's the same time frame. God, how long? But you've dealt bountifully with me. Though I feel this, there's a greater reality that I understand. I shall not be moved by the circumstance, though I wish it were different. I'm going to trust in you anyway. We need to continue to pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to go through your scripture. I ask that you help us all in seeking truth. I don't know. I know I need to be reminded of this. You know the needs that we all have.
there may be weak areas in our life. I know that there are problem areas in our life, whether it's with us or those that we love. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to bow our will to your way. Help us to be prayerful. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. Lord, just help us to come together and to grow. We pray for Tim and Ann right now and ask that you will to make a way for their vehicle to be fixed, and if it's in your will, to come and be with us at least in part today. We thank you for your blessings bestowed upon us. Please help the children. Help us to be faithful to the children. And we ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.